You are listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution with Dr. Stephen Davis, the one and only podcast that discusses modern plastic surgery and leaves you looking great and feeling better.
Welcome, everyone, to the Plastic Surgery Revolution. I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis, board-certified plastic surgeon. Many of my podcasts and videos that I put together really come from office hours, going to meetings, talking to colleagues of mine. But one that continues to be something that I talk about at least 4 or 5 times every office hour day, and every time I'm talking about it with a patient, I always say, you know what? I really should write this out on a piece of paper and just hand it out to everyone so that they could hear or at least read through what I'm about to tell you. And that is, many of these fillers, neuromodulators, which we call as a real big heading for what we're talking about when we talk about Botox, facial fillers, things like that, are actually nowadays almost like talking about Kleenex or some brand name of something. And it is like a commodity. So it is not that unusual that someone who may want to get involved in doing cosmetic surgery or cosmetic procedures may choose to take a course, purchase the products, and kind of get their feet wet in doing some of these procedures. And I know that I've been involved in many trainings for a lot of different kinds of physicians, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, and I'm a very strong proponent of the Palette Organization, which is an organization that I'm a member of that basically goes around and teaches and trains people in how to do all these injectable type things and other types of procedures in a very safe manner. And I also teach and train for the Allergan Corporation, which happens to be the ones that make Botox and Juvederm, and also to the to Medicis and to Galderma, actually, where I was involved with them for many, many years. And they're the ones that actually put out Restylane, Dysport, etc. And I'm involved in a lot of the advisory panels for Evolus's new Botox, which they call Nutox, or which you probably have heard a little bit about, which is kind of an exciting thing that we've been, you know, involved in some of the production of this and how we should use these different kinds of neuromodulators. But for the most part, what I wanted to talk to you about today is really the concept that it's not just the product that's what's going to give you the result. And I'm pretty sure for most of you listening to this that are seasoned in the whole Botox and Juvederm and Restylane and facial fillers and lasers and everything else, for you that are listening that are really, really seasoned with this cosmetic surgery type of procedures, you will also agree with me that just because you get injected with, let's say, Botox, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have the same results as if someone else injected the exact same product in you. And I think the more people that start to dabble in this cosmetic surgery realm, the more you will hear from your friends. You'll hear, you know, maybe relatives or people that have gotten certain things done, and they'll tell you, oh, that product didn't work for me. Or when I got it done, oh my God, it looked awful. And unfortunately, many times the product itself ends up becoming the scapegoat. the product itself becomes the thing that the person really thinks is the problem. So during my course of office hours, and sometimes we're seeing between 40 and 50 people in an office hour day, I'll hear this story all the time. I'll hear this story that a patient has a girlfriend, or a patient has a someone very close to them that decided to get Botox, let's say. And sure enough, when they got their Botox injected, it dropped their brows or it made them look funny. When they smiled, it didn't look like them. And I think what I'm trying to make sure that all of you know is that there is a science and an artistry combination when it comes to doing all different kinds of cosmetic plastic surgery or for plastic surgery in general. There's the science behind it for why it works. There's the science behind the anatomy. There's understanding where you can do certain things and why you can't do certain things. But then there's also the artistry of being able to actually perform it in a way that's not only reproducible, but also takes into account your facial anatomy, your nuances of why it needs to be placed in certain muscles. And again, I'm sticking with the whole Botox theme, but why it should be placed in certain muscles and in other muscles it shouldn't. Why the fillers should be used in certain parts of your face and why other types of fillers shouldn't. So the take-home message here is really we need to start thinking about decommoditizing some of these products that just because you could get it somewhere doesn't necessarily mean that they're taking or who's ever going to be doing your injection. You want to make sure that they're taking into account a lot of other bits and pieces of information that will help them get you the final result and the look that you're going for. And let me give you a couple examples. So the first thing that I want to do is make sure that we're hitting things that are so top of everyone's mind. I want to make sure I'm hitting things that are really, really popular and that I almost do every single office hour visit. And the first one I'll talk about is Botox. Botox injections can be placed in a lot of different areas. And the more and more science and more anatomical dissections that I'm involved with and the more meetings that I'm able to attend, there are some really bright, bright people that are really stretching and I guess thinking about it in terms of where else could Botox be utilized to give this unbelievable result. So obviously, the more skilled the person is that you're going to see to get injections of, let's say, Botox, the more places they may be trained and have studied and have experience injecting in those areas. Let me give you a few examples. Most people know about the 11 lines, those lines that are between your brows, your eyebrows. And some people call those like angry lines or 11 lines or just frown lines. But other places that can be injected, which I'm sure most of you know, are the crow's feet around the outside of the eye, the forehead area. You can also inject the neck. A lot of patients come in with some necklace lines, we call them, or some hanging vertical neck bands. Those can be injected with Botox. Along the jawline, to give something that's a wonderful name that someone came up with called the Nefertiti look. And it goes back to an Egyptian look. So it's a Nefertiti type of a look where you can inject Botox along the jawline to get that to look tighter. And again, more and more nuances of how to use the product. But again, it's the same product. It can be diluted in a number of different ways depending on where we're injecting it on the face or the body. But where it's being placed, the actual muscle that it's being placed in, the depth of the placement of the Botox. Some of the muscles that we're trying to inject, we want to be more superficial or closer to the skin surface. Other muscles that are deeper that we're trying to get to, we may have to inject that a little deeper to make sure we're hitting the proper muscle. So I think the reason why this came up was the other day someone wanted a lip flip, which is a really cool new way of putting a little bit of Botox or any neuromodulator around the lip border. And what that does is it prevents you from tucking away your lip when you smile. So a lot of you really don't want lip fillers because you're really not trying to change the volume or the size of your lips. What you're trying to do is just maintain the lip where it is, even though you may be animating, talking. And when a lot of you smile, the muscles around the mouth tuck that lip away and you end up losing your lip. By putting a little bit of Botox in a special locations, you can keep that lip kind of stabilized. Doesn't look funny if it's done properly. And it really has taken off. It's been a very, very popular thing. And I'm sure a lot of you that follow on Instagram and everything else, you've probably seen this. I'm going to switch gears and talk about facial fillers. Facial fillers like Juvederm, Restylane, those are the big headings, if you will. But underneath those categories, there are very, very intricate new fillers that are in the Juvederm family, that are in the Restylane family. And certain of these injectable fillers are supposed to be placed in certain places of the face and lips, and some of them are not supposed to be placed in certain places of the face and lips. And when I talk to you, when you come in for an office visit, and I find out that you may have gone somewhere to get your tear troughs, which are those gullies that are underneath your eyes, injected with a filler, and I ask what product was used, many of you don't know. But you don't like the way it looks. It looks lumpy. It makes you look like you have more bags under your eyes than you started with. You wish you could get it to go away. These are all the things that I hear. And again, it's kind of like understanding that there is a way of filling that gully or that little tear trough that's underneath the eye area, and it can be done in a very safe fashion. But there are certain products that you would never choose to put there because of its, again, going back to the chemistry of it or the scientific aspects of it, there are certain reasons why certain fillers are supposed to be placed in certain areas and certain fillers are not supposed to be placed in certain areas. And again, I really wanted to make sure that I was talking more about in generalized terms and generalized ideas about why we really need to start thinking about decommoditizing a lot of these products that, you know, are so flippantly talked about. And some people go places that they saw a sign that said that they have Botox or they have Restylane or Juvederm there, and they can show up and just get it done. But I'm telling you, they're, you know, once you have heard about some of the problems associated with this, and hopefully this has not happened to any of you that have been listening to this, but if you've gone somewhere and had a bad experience with some of these things, again, it could be a variety of things, but always remember it's the product and where the product is being chosen to be used. It's the actual injector person that's injecting it, their skill level, their experience, etc. And there's also you that should be pretty much directing the look that you're going for. And I think all three of those things tied together should end up giving you this phenomenal result. But I want to make sure that you are very involved when it comes to all of these facial injectables, because for the most part, I don't know too many people that go to sleep to get these facial injectables. So you're wide awake. You can, like, you know, be the captain of the ship with this, and you don't need to get your lips to be overly injected if you didn't want them to be. You didn't have to get Botox, you know, in certain places that you didn't want it to be. So it really is a lot on your shoulders to choose the proper place to go, to let the person that's going to be injecting you understand the look that you're going for. And again, you know, this goes back to like plastic surgery training 101. When I was a plastic surgery resident and I was shadowing and training with other plastic surgeons, one of the first things that we always talked about was, and this goes to like rhinoplasties, breast augmentations, otoplasty, which is like an ear, you know, reduction type of a thing for big ears. I mean, it could be for anything. We all, facelifts, we always want to know what the patient's ultimate goal, what's your ultimate desire for what you want to look like. And that's how plastic surgery really became such a, I think, such an unbelievably popular thing, is because it was something that you could, in essence, direct. It wasn't just like, okay, I want to get my gallbladder taken out. And then you have like so many different options, you know, for how that's going to be done. You could go, you know, laparoscopically. There are ways that you could make a decision, but at the end of the day, it's not so much in your hands. Something like a breast augmentation, where you could choose saline implants, silicone gel implants. Do you want them to be bigger, smaller? Do you want to, you know, you can understand what I'm saying. So along with this, there's also these facial fillers and injectables that as plastic surgeons, we, you know, basically have that sense that we want to make sure that it's the look that you want. Not so much what the plastic surgeon wants, it's what you want to look like. So I thought this would be something for you to think about, because during these months, facial fillers and injectables are very, very, very popular, because so many of you want to not be able to wear a lot of makeup when you go out on the beach or go to the pool or go out at night. You really just want to look sharp, tight, and look really, you know, like everything's been lifted and in proper location, especially around the lips, around the eyes, etc. And we see a lot of patients, and I'm hopefully, you know, you're, you know, listening to this so that you maybe also partaken in some of this stuff. But when you're coming in to get any of this done, wherever you go, remember, think about where the product's being placed, what kind of product it is. And if you have questions about it, definitely make sure that you're asking the person that's going to be injecting you all of these things. You've been listening to The Plastic Surgery Revolution. I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis. I'll be speaking with you again next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Plastic Surgery Revolution with Dr. Stephen Davis. Please subscribe to our show in iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. Keep listening, looking great, and feeling better.